Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yes, I'm so thankful we serve a mighty God. Oh, thank the Lord. Yes, in these perilous times, oh, thank God that, oh, we have His Word. We have His help. Oh, yes, He has sent the Comforter. Oh, praise the Lord, so we don't have to walk this world alone. Praise God. And, oh, thank God we are not in the dark. Thank the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to be continuing with this series here, Life in Christ. This is part four here tonight. And I just pray that this will be a blessing. I know we are so blessed to know the Lord. And oh my, you know, He comes into our lives. And you know, we may know very, very little initially at the first. And I thank God, you know, He begins His work in our lives at that moment. And you know, things begin to change. Things begin to turn around. Our whole thinking process takes a turnaround. And thank God, you know, God knows how to work in us, how to make a new creature in Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And I thank God. I know, yes, it's a lot of learning, you know, but yet it's simple. It's so simple in that we learn that we turn it over to Jesus Christ and let Him rule and reign in our lives. Amen, you know, but see, there is a conflict because, yeah, people like to hang on to the old man and the old ways and the old goals and the old tendencies and all those kind of things. But oh my, how things change when we just give it over to Jesus and really say, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, He may have a whole different, desire for our lives and perhaps we had thought in the past, you know? And it's only through coming to the Lord that He begins to just move the pieces so that, you know, our life can go in a different direction, the direction that He has ordained for us. Praise the Lord, His will, and yes, how things begin to change. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, this walk with the Lord. And I know, yes, we're blessed now on this earth. But oh, one day when we stand before Him, we're going to realize the greatness of His mercy and His grace and all the favor that He has shown us. And oh my, you know, the great love in which He came forth to, you know, have compassion on us when we were so pathetic and so helpless and so needful. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God, yes. And out of that, He gives us a hope beyond this world. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's pray here before I really get going here tonight. And let's ask the Lord to have His way. Praise the Lord Jesus. We do thank You, Lord. We do praise You, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank You that we can lift up that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, Lord. Oh, God, I'm so glad, oh, Lord, that You, oh, Lord, know how to deliver us, how to set us free, how to make a new creature out of us, Lord Jesus. How to change us, oh Lord, oh God, to take our lives, our wretchedness, our poverty, our patheticness, Lord Jesus, and oh God, make something of worth and value for Thy kingdom's sake. Oh God, to put us, oh Lord, oh, as a participant in Thy kingdom, Lord, to do what You have called us to do as individuals. I pray that You talk to us here tonight. I pray that the devil would be bound. I pray that, oh God, every foolish whim and thought and, oh God, everything that is not of Thee would be put to flight in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh God, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for what You have done. We thank You for, oh God, that You have purchased our salvation and redeemed us, oh Lord. Oh God, it made us to sit in heavenly places with You, Lord. Oh God, I pray that You would be here in this place, Lord. Oh God, that Your presence would come down. Oh God, that Your anointing would be felt, Lord. And oh God, that You would talk to our hearts, Lord. Oh God, for we are pilgrims, we are strangers. Oh God, we are needy. Oh God, I pray that you would help, that you'd minister to every individual, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, you know us as individuals. And oh God, you know what each and every one of us needs, Lord. Oh God, and oh God, you know, oh God, how to provide that which is needful. Oh God, how to talk to us, how to stir us. Oh God, how to work in us, Lord Jesus. And I pray that your will would be done. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, work in your people. Oh God, provide for your people. Talk to your people, Lord. Help us, Lord, that we would endure until the end, oh Lord Jesus. So God, and not be caught up with the affairs of this world. But oh God, to live in victory. Oh God, we pray this in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, Lord willing, I do believe my oldest daughter, Ruth, will be driving in to Beaver Dam. And they did have a change. Sophia, the oldest girl, realized that she really couldn't hardly come with a baby. It just got to be too much. So I believe it's just going to be Ruth and her daughter Serena at this point, but how am I? It will be good anyway, and like I had mentioned, it's been 5 years since we've seen each other face to face, so praise the Lord, and just thank God he's made a way, you know? He's made a way. Oh, and I thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, and thank you everyone for your prayers, too. I know you've been praying for my family and, you know, for my daughter Ruth and those circumstances. And, oh my, there's been so much. And, oh, but, you know, God has been good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's get into his word now. Praise the Lord. Our life in Christ, part 4 here tonight. You know how sin was a part of all of our lives, our old man, our old nature in the past. I know there is not a one of us that can say that, you know, before we knew the Lord, that we lived without sin. Oh my, you know, we were very fallen. At least I can surely say that for myself. And, you know, the thing was, you know, it was, you know, a matter of time before it just really dawned, speaking of my own self, that, you know, I really needed the Lord. And you know, I guess maybe I sort of knew that, but you know, it was so different that night he called. That night he called, and I could feel that with great urgency. And you know, he just took over, and all at once, all I knew is I had to get right with God. And I am so thankful for that moment. I am so thankful for that night. Amen. Because, yes, you know, the wages of sin is death. And you know, we were so headed in that direction, each and every one of us. But then came that glorious moment when God came to us in such a way that we could see our great need to cry out to him and, oh my, to totally turn our lives over, to repent and, oh, to obey the gospel. And wow, you know, such a moment when that happened. And truly, as it tells us, 2 Corinthians 5th chapter and verse 17, you know, it states, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And oh my, that is so amazing. You know, I just, people out there, I just doubt that, you know, some of them might feel, I hope they would feel that something is missing. I would hope that they would sense that there's a vacuum, that something isn't right, you know, but they may not know what it is. They may not know how. You know, they may just be wandering in their own ways and misery, you know, and all. But, oh, praise the Lord, we are so blessed that there was that moment when Jesus Christ came into our lives and he began, oh my, to make a new creature out of us, praise the Lord. And you have to forgive me. I say this all the time, but that word creature, I love it because, you know, it means to create, means to take something out of nothing. And I just love how the Lord took us out of our vanity, out of our waywardness, out of our nothingness. And you know, he called us to walk with him. And oh yes, he began molding and shaping us, making a new creature out of what we had been. Oh, praise the Lord. Something for his kingdom, something for his glory, something of value, something that he would treasure. You know, it's a beautiful thought, isn't it? And it's not just a thought, it's a reality. You know, it tells us, as we just turn here for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, a little bit about, you know, that old man, that old way. And Paul here, as he's writing to the church at Corinth, he says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Oh yes, he's telling them, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he says, be not deceived. And oh my, you know, there again, it just speaks a lot, just even those few words, because, you know, how many people, you know, think, even though they don't really know God's word, they don't really have a walk with the Lord, but yet, you know, they kind of think that they're going to be okay. But oh my, thank God for this roadmap, because yes, here it very clearly tells us that, you know, if you're not right with God, in other words, if you're unrighteous, in other words, then, oh my, you have no part, you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Oh, that's just, you know, plain, clear, but, you know, a point that isn't often understood by many. But then it says, be not deceived, because people walk in their sins, and as I've said before, they often think it's cute. In fact, sin is very popular from, you know, everything I could perceive here. And, you know, most people just kind of just go along with, you know, everybody else and what is the course of the day. And, you know, they just, you know, adjust their life according to what is normal in the eyes of men. But oh my, that is not a good way. You know, I was thinking of dear brother Mick, you know, as I was studying this afternoon, and he was such a dear man that was a part of this ministry for a few years, he and Sister Pat, and, you know, love them both, and oh my, they're both gone on to be with the Lord. But you know, brother Mick would, you know, tell people, you know, if you know, they were professing a walk with the Lord, professing to know Jesus, that, you know, and is still calling themselves a sinner, he would ask them a question. He said, well, why are you still sinning if you are saved? And, you know, that was such a vital point that, you know, I'm sure he made many people think. Pat Mick, yeah, they made us think too in so many ways. But, you know, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And that, you know, was the course of events. You know, that's why he died on the cross, to save us from our sins, so we didn't have to continue walking in those sins. Because, and I've said it before, sin separated us from God. And with sin in our life, we were not headed to heaven. And oh my, that is such a simple point, but few people seem to get it. And indeed, if we really are walking with the Lord, if we really have been saved, as we say, you know, then why would we be continuing in our sin? And Paul is asking this too here in this ninth verse of 1 Corinthians 6. Oh yeah, so it goes on. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. And how many people are literally deceived because, you know, they're living in sin. Oh my, you know, it's very popular right now to, you know, fornicate, you know, to be an adulterer, or, you know, to be an idolater in some form or the other. And oh my, you know, you don't have to go too far to, you know, see people. In fact, it's getting stranger and stranger all the time. You know, I know, Brother Tim and I often go to the co-op in Madison, and, you know, a co-op is supposedly, you know, we're all part of that store. We all, you know, are supposed to, you know, have a little bit of it, you know, as far as, you know, it's worth. But it's getting stranger and stranger, and of course Madison, also called Mad City, you know, is getting stranger and stranger, and it just seems like the people in that store are getting harder and harder to look at. And I don't even know if I want to repeat some of the things I've seen in that store. But oh my, you know, I couldn't believe it. There was somebody in front of me at the checkout, you know, a few days ago, and they were, you know, kind of a monk robe, and I didn't even really want to look at them. I just saw some shaved head, and then I heard the person speak, and it sounded like a woman, and I'm thinking, oh my, now what in the world am I seeing now? And then, oh my, there are just a lot of strange characters. There was a man who was trying to be a woman, I guess, and he was dressed in underwear. And I mean, come on, you know, it's enough to make you sick.
Yeah.
And oh my, you know, it's not getting better because these things are winked at. And, you know, it seems like that store kind of has the philosophy, you know, everybody's welcome, you know, no matter, you know, who you are or what you think or, you know, your ideologies or your religion or anything else, and, you know, everybody welcome. Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't feel so welcome a few months ago when I tried to give a tract to one of the men at the counters, and he just about, ran off my head, it seemed like. But praise the Lord, you know what it's all about. Yes, they're opening up. Oh, to sin even more and more all the time, and things. I keep on thinking, what would my grandparents think if they could see this? You know, even my mom and dad, you know, and if they could see this, oh my, it was bad enough when mother and dad were alive, and you know, now look at it. I mean, oh my. But oh yes, it just tells us this old world is dying. Yes, it's getting worse and worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And, you know, that makes all the more sense to me as I see this. Yes, they're living in their deception. And as they live in that deception, they are deceiving. And oh my, yes, Brother Samuel was saying, you know, we have concerns. Who could be the next president of the United States if it comes to that, if we, you know, actually get to that moment? You know, these socialistic mayors are rising up in this country, and you know, other individuals in places of importance likewise, and you know, we don't know. They've been preparing people a long time, you know, for, a socialistic, communistic system. And oh my, yeah, it's enough, oh my, to make us ponder and hopefully to call upon the name of the Lord like never before. Oh my, because we desperately need God. Oh yes, under these circumstances, amen, amen. But oh my, this is not the way it's supposed to be. This description here in 1 Corinthians 6 that I just read, and you know, it just fits with the times. But oh, it's made so clear, you know, if you are under those categories, a fornicator, an idolater, an adulterer, one that's effeminate, nor someone who's abuser of themselves with mankind, kind of sounds like acts of homosexuality. And, you know, besides thieves or covetous, which, you know, can be greediness. And, you know, greed is a great, you know, part of why we are in the condition we are in, you know, and why prices generally don't go down, but up and up and up and up. And even, oh my, when they should go down, they still seem to go up. Because, yeah, people are greedy, very greedy. But oh yes, it states drunkards here in this description. It states revilers, and oh my, you know, to revile means to verbally use abusive language and you know, towards another person. Of course, yes, Jesus certainly was reviled when he walked this earth. And then extortioners are mentioned, and yes, yes, ones who use force to gain money, and so on. But you know, here it's told us, and such were some of you. We all had our past, right? But oh, thank God for his mercy and for his grace. But it says, but ye are washed. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, praise the Lord. We've been washed in the waters of baptism. Oh, praise the Lord. And it says, but ye are sanctified. That means to have been made holy, praise the Lord, and set apart. And then, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, that's so precious. To have been made just, oh, by, through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the waters of baptism has something to do with that justification. And by the Spirit of our God, oh, praise the Lord. He took us. He took us out of our horrendous state of sin and began his work on our hearts and in our lives, oh, to remake us the creature in Christ that we need to be in order to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And you know, you can sense how vitally important this is. This word of God that tells us all these things so clearly and distinctly. And, you know, so, yeah, thank God. I mean, it might hit pretty hard at the first, like a brick, perhaps. But oh, praise the Lord, when we yield our lives to God, when we all begin that course of change. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. We're so grateful that we were warned, you know, that the Word of God let us know our sinful condition and our great need for salvation. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord. You know, and one thing that we have been talking about is the need for the works of the flesh to be flushed out of our lives so that the old man can be destroyed and so that the new man in Christ can have the preeminence and so that we can come towards the mark of the prize of the calling of the high calling in Christ Jesus, so we can conform to the image of his dear Son, and so we can put on Christ and be like Christ. Oh my, we could never do it of ourselves. We could never do it of our own volition. You know, it's going to take the Lord convicting us, talking to us, helping us to see our need to get right, to repent of those filthy deeds of the flesh, to obey that command to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And oh yes, how we need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that power from on high that Jesus Christ has ordained. Oh, that we need, oh yes, to walk in victory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just go to Romans, the sixth chapter. I know I was here a couple weeks ago, but I just want to review this here a little bit. Here, Romans 6, and I'm going to start with verse 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. No, yes, so if that old man is crucified, then we're killing that old man. We're mortifying it, you know? We're just stomping it out. We don't want to walk in those old ways. Oh, yes, we want that body of sin to be destroyed because, yes, we do not want to serve sin. It tells us, for he that is dead is freed from sin. And, of course, is talking about dead from our sins, having died out to our sins, to the old man, to the old nature, in true repentance to Jesus Christ. And then it says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Praise the Lord. And, oh, yes, that hope beyond this world. It goes on, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Oh, yes, because that price is paid. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, it's done in such a way that, oh, praise the Lord, we don't have to live in our sins anymore. It doesn't have to be on our backs anymore, that great load, you know, that was dragging us down and sending us to the lake of fire. Praise the Lord. So it says, oh, let's see, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Praise the Lord. Yes, it isn't on our backs anymore when we've given it over to Jesus. And then it goes on, for in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Praise the Lord. Yes, it only took that one occasion, that one crucifixion. Oh, yes, for Jesus Christ to pay the price in full for our sins. Thank the Lord. And yes, it's used to exemplify our need to die out to our old life, to our old man. So he goes on to compare in verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then verse 12 tells us, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And just so many people walking in that respect in that, in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and all of that leads to the lake of fire. And then we're told, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Oh, praise the Lord. So yes, now we once served the old man. We once lived in that realm. But now because, yes, We've obeyed the gospel. We've been buried with Christ in the waters of baptism. Oh, into Christ. Praise the Lord. As if we've been planted together with him in the likeness of his death, as it tells us in those prior verses. So now, yes, we give our lives over to Jesus Christ. Yield means to surrender, to give to. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, to submit, to allow him, oh, to make us what we need to be in Christ Jesus. So yes, we're told clearly, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Oh yes, the law had its place. It was for that dispensation, but now, yes, there is a better plan. Oh yes, a plan that fully can take away sin. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, so we don't have to come to the high priest, you know, year after year to atone for sin, or to have him atone for a sin through the death of an animal and the shedding of its blood. So then, yes, it's asked in verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Oh, it goes on, another, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? So it's one way or the other. You've either yielded your life over to the Lord Jesus to obey his ways and his word, to walk in his righteousness, or otherwise you are walking in the way of the rebels, the way of sin. You are either a servant to sin, or a servant unto Jesus Christ, or of obedience unto righteousness. And then, oh yes, verse 17 tells us, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Yes, we all walk back there at that earlier moment. But praise the Lord, oh, that calling. Oh yes, when he called us to yield our lives over to the Lord Jesus, to submit unto him, and oh, let him rule and reign in our mortal body. Oh yes, to make us his child. Praise the Lord, oh yes. That form of doctrine, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, oh, which are all steps. Oh yes, in our salvation, as we die out to sin, as we're buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, and oh yes, as we rise to walk in newness of life. Oh yes, and oh yes, yielding and surrendering to God so that we can be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes, and then it continues here. It says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Oh, thank the Lord. There's nothing we could have done of our own selves, but it had to be the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants of uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. Praise the Lord. So yes, you know, we walked in that old way, in that ugly old way of sin and uncleanness, and you know, one iniquity after the other. But now, yes, we surrender, we yield our lives unto the righteousness of Jesus Christ, unto holiness. And oh, with that holiness, there comes separation, a separation from the world of sin, a departure from it. No wonder we don't want to live in that realm anymore. You know, it's changed, it's gone. You know, we become new creatures in Christ. For it tells us, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. It's one way or the other. Hey, people may think, you know, that they're good and not be really serving the Lord, but oh my, they're only living in deception if that is the case. It is going to take the blood of Jesus Christ. It is going to take yielding our lives unto him in order, oh yes, to have his righteousness. And then another question is asked, verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And yes, praise the Lord. You know, when you think of the old ways and all those horrendous things that were sort of a norm, or maybe very much a norm, you know, in the old days. And thanks be to God, oh my, who has freed us from that sin. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, it's not even fun to think of it many times because we're ashamed of that past. Because, yes, there's an understanding now of the end of that kind of lifestyle. That end of sin is death. And it explains, verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And oh yes, it's such a beautiful thing that he's called us unto separation. He's called us unto holiness. He's called us to that walk with him. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. And oh yes, it's either one way or the other, isn't it? You know, oh, the old life, oh, that led to the darkness. Oh, yes. Oh, it led to destruction. It led to the lake of fire. But thanks be to God. Oh, yes. You can walk this road of life. And that end is everlasting life in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So yes, let's go now again to Galatians and just see how the Lord will, or excuse me, not Galatians, let's go to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians again and let's kind of just, we'll almost pick up where we left off. I'm just going to read a little bit to give us a running start here. Galatians chapter 4. And oh, I said it again. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you, Tim. Yes. Yeah, and here we're going to be given some very specific instructions here of how we can put on the new man. And yes, it also declares God's expectations of us in our new life with Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So here, Ephesians chapter 4, going to verse 17 here, it says, as Paul is writing, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. No, my, you know, people walking in that blind state and you know, a lot of ignorance also there, but you know, just become calloused and, you know, without even the ability to discern when they continue to live in that willful disobedience state, such as described in even Romans, the first chapter. Oh my, but oh, what a horrible thing. But not so for the Christian. Verse 20 tells us, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yes, you know, we heard the gospel and then, oh, that teaching that comes forth. So yes, we can get our life in order. Praise the Lord. And then, yes, it instructs, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Well, the devil, you know, he doesn't want you to be enlightened by God. He wants you to continue to walking in those old ways. Oh my, you know, and you know, those old ways of life that were all a part of our nature back then. And it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for the word of God that speaks to our hearts. I'm so thankful for the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, that, oh, yes, helps us. Oh, yes, we often need, you know, a new revival in our heart. You know, a new commitment, a new time of dedication. And praise the Lord, we need those times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. Yes, when we get into his presence, and oh, my, you know, it comes down and saturates us, and oh, praise the Lord, revives us, and oh, praise the Lord. You know, I know as a young girl, you know, it'd be that time, you know, I've been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, but you know, after a little while, I realized I needed a refreshing, I needed it to happen again, praise the Lord. And yes, it's so beautiful because we can yield that again to the Lord, and praise the Lord, yes, he will refill us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it builds that confidence, and it renews that joy in our hearts. And you know, it revives our spirits. Praise the Lord. But oh, yes, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh, as it says in Romans 7, verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Praise the Lord. Yes, we delight in this wonderful word of life that, oh, yes, changes us. Praise God. And then he tells us, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Praise the Lord. Yes, true holiness, which is separation from the world. And now, yes, as he works our new ways, as that new life in Christ begins, he now lists those particulars that help us to become that new creature. Praise the Lord. Here it tells us, verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And praise the Lord, yes, you know, that's one thing that's got to go. There must not be any pretense in the kingdom of God. And yes, you know, we need to speak the things that are true. Oh, yes, the best we know. Amen. And not live in the deceitfulness of lying and you know, telling stories and fibs and things that are not right. So, yes, that's the first thing that's instructed here in this portion. And then verse 26 tells us, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And of course, there is such a thing as righteous anger. There are moments that we can be angry at sin. There were times that Jesus was angry at the deeds of individuals, what was going on in the temple, and you know, the lack of response and the unbelief when he walked this earth. But oh my, there's a difference between that and allowing anger to grow and become something greater, even wrath, where you know it grates upon us and you know we don't let it go. And oh yes, wrath is even, it's more forceful. It can be often vindictive there, you know, motives and things that are impure that, you know, we don't want to be a part of our character, of our thinking. So yes, we're instructed, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And you know, if something has upset us, if there's something that we're angry with, we don't want to keep, you know, that spirit in our heart. We want to make sure that, you know, we've yielded it over to the Lord Jesus, so that, you know, when we lay our heads on the pillow, you know, we don't want anything like that still working in our hearts. Amen. Amen. So let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And then verse 27 instructs, neither give place to the devil. And oh yes, we've talked about this before, and you know, we don't want to give the devil a chair to sit on. We don't want to give him a place. And oh yes, we don't want any of his marks, any of the things that are a characteristic of his kingdom, of his people, of his world, things that would be of the occult, things that would be obscene, things that are of the world, things that do not relate to the kingdom of God, but rather the devil's kingdom. We don't want those things to be a part of our new man in Christ Jesus. And so I believe, you know, there are certain things that we don't want to have there nearby us, you know, in our houses or in our cars, in our possession, that, you know, would be detrimental. So many things under this category, you know, objects. Could be magazines. Oh my, it could be books. It could be movies, you know. It could be things that people watch on television or so on, you know, all those things that are instruments of the devil, things that he uses. Oh yes, to, you know, stir up our minds in the wrong way so that, you know, we get thoughts that, you know, are not of God. And oh yes, we don't want any of those to be a part of our life in Christ. In fact, we don't want to have fellowship with any of that. We just look over at the fifth chapter of Ephesians for a moment. It tells us in verse 11, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Oh yes, you know, there are places we are not going to want to go. There are people that we would not want to associate with. Yes, because they are yielded to the unfruitful works of darkness. No, but rather we need to reprove them. Oh yes, they need to be rebuked. You know, they need to sense our disapproval. Oh yes, so they can be convicted of that wayward way of life. And verse 12 here in this chapter tells us, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Oh yes, there are so many horrendous things that, you know, we certainly don't want to meditate upon. We don't want to, you know, stir up our hearts or minds in any way to, you know, have all of this going through our thought process. So yes, we've got to shun those things that are not appropriate and that are not right, that would, oh, take us astray, that would lead us in the wrong direction. You know, turning to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, reading a couple verses here. Here, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 20 and 21, it says, as Paul is instructing in this chapter, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. And verse 21, here it says it again, in its own way, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You can't serve two masters. Jesus said it clearly, you know, you're going to hate the one and love the other, or, you know, just abide by the one way of thought and abandon the other. You can't serve God and mammon. And yes, here it's told us he cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Oh my, I think that's pretty clear, isn't it? Yes, and oh yes. We know that we have been bought with that price, that shed blood of Jesus Christ. And oh yes, we don't want anything to hinder our walk with the Lord. Amen. So yes, we must not give any place to the devil. Oh, we must not hang on to things that belong to his realm, to his kingdom. Oh yes, connections that need to be snapped, you know, that need to be stopped, you know. Oh my, you know what they might be, but oh my, you know, we don't want to give the devil a chair to sit on. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And then it continues here as, you know, the exhortation is continuing here in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 28 tells us, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that is needed. And oh yes, you know, that new way of life, that, you know, instead of, you know, being selfish and full of, you know, one's own ego and all that, you know, oh, we look to the things of others and oh yes, try to do those things that might help somebody else. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, we don't want, you know, anything like stealing to, you know, be something that we'd ever be caught with. Something, you know, how am I, that we could be accused of. I think the beautiful example that we have in Luke the 19th chapter speak so clearly of a changed life. And there I'm speaking of that story of Zacchaeus there in the 19th chapter of Luke. And I think that is such a beautiful story because, oh yes, not only we see the great desire in Zacchaeus' heart to see Jesus, but we see when Jesus went to his house. Oh yes, how Zacchaeus was willing and ready, oh, to turn his life over, to make adjustments in his life, and oh yes, to make a commitment to God. And it tells us, Luke 19, verse 8, after Jesus had come to his house, and oh yes, they had had their talk. And yeah, we don't have details of that talk, but yeah, I'm sure they had a talk. And Zacchaeus was convicted, and praise the Lord for it. And yes, you know, we're all going to have the Lord talking to our hearts. You know, it's going to be a little different for each and every one of us because God knows specifically and exactly the things that hinder us, the things that we need to let go of as individuals. And here it tells us, verse 8 here of Luke 19, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And then praise the Lord, oh, this great change, because yes, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was very rich. He was the chief among the publicans. He had lots of goods, but you know, they hadn't all been, you know, they weren't all honestly his right. He'd taken many things, obviously, you know, out of greed, out of a heart that, you know, wanted only things for himself. But praise the Lord, when Jesus intervened in his life, he suddenly realized, oh, the blinders went off, and he suddenly realized, hey, I've got to get right. And, oh, he said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And, oh, yes, Jesus responded. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham." And then it tells us in verse 10 here, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Oh, yes, Jesus' mission to this world, oh, to find us, to find his people, you know, to open up our eyes so that we can understand the weight of sin and the penalty for sin and our great need to get right with God. Praise the Lord. So back here in Ephesians, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Praise the Lord. Oh, a change of heart, a change of attitude. Praise the Lord. And then it goes on, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Oh, yes, we're not going to talk like the old man either. Oh, my, when Jesus comes into our life. Oh, yes, instead, we want things that would be beneficial for edifying, for building up others. Oh, beneficial to show other people the way to God, to be a characteristic in our lives. And nothing that is corrupt. Oh, no swearing, no cursing, no taking the Lord's name in vain. No F words. Oh my, shunning gossip and slander and all those things that would injure other people. But rather, letting the Lord filter our mouth so that, you know, the old man doesn't come through in our language, so we don't talk like that. Oh, it is to be no part of the child of God. Oh my, those corrupt communications that came out of our mouth in times of old when we had not surrendered to the Lord Jesus. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, God changes us. And one of the most telling things, I believe, would be the way we talk. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we want to give God glory. You know, if the Lord will, we will do this, we will do that. You know, we are told not to swear. There, James wrote, James 5, verse 12, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation." So yes, you know, there's going to be a great change in the words that come out of our mouth. Amen. When we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And then verse 30, oh yes, it tells us, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Oh, it's tremendous grief to God when people who know better, people who have been lightened by the Spirit of God, oh, tend to walk in the old ways. Oh, yeah, when they backslide and, you know, just turn to the old man again and or get careless in their walk with the Lord and all at once, not truly representing the kingdom of God, not being an ambassador for the sake of God's kingdom. Oh, that is a grief to God. Oh, yes, that kind of behavior is not becoming of a Christian. And, oh, it's revealed in so many ways, by the way we talk, by our actions, by our activities, by the way we dress. All of those, you know, relate to our manner of life and what we're like inside. You know, some people say you can't judge a person by the outside, but I'll tell you what, oh my, I think when God works on the inside, there's going to be adjustments on the outside too. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, because we want to represent God's kingdom. We don't want to look to things that pertain to the world and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. God forbid. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, yes. Oh, the Holy Ghost seals us unto the day of redemption. And oh my, when we get careless, when we don't walk closely to the Lord, when we backslide and, start living the old life again, oh, there is a grief that hits the heart of God. You know, it tells of that grief in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. I know Brother Samuel was into this on Sunday, but I'd already thought of going here by that time, and I just want to read a little bit here. Hebrews chapter 3, and starting with verse 7, it tells us, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." Oh my, they were not listening to the Spirit of God. They were not heeding. They were not walking appropriately. Oh, yes, the law of Moses had been given, but oh my, they were despising it in their hearts. And, they were going to their own manners and ways. They were provoking the Lord. Oh, yes, in that day of provocation, that day of temptation in the wilderness. Oh, they had been witnesses of God's greatness, his miracles, his mighty works. Oh, yes, how he had saved them out of Egypt and taken them through. Oh, yes, the Red Sea. But oh my, it didn't take too long until they went their own way. And they tempted God, despite the fact that they had witnessed his mighty works. And yes, God was grieved with that. "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." No, yes. Likewise, we're given a warning here, this 12th verse of Hebrews 3. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." Yes, so, there's no room, to backslide, to let the devil enter in, to sneak in a, few of his little things there, allow certain things into our lives that invite trouble, that invite sin, that invite temptations. Oh, yes, God was desperately grieved with them. And oh, yes, it tells us, just reading a little bit more, here in Hebrews 3, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned? You see, sin is not supposed to be a characteristic of a child of God. We're not supposed to live in that realm. And God was not pleased with those Israelites when, they departed, into their own ways, when they went into unbelief and refused to believe God. God was very grieved with them, those 40 years. And yes, that older generation, you know, all of them except for two, they died in the wilderness. And all besides, it says, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Oh my, we don't want any unbelief to keep us out of the kingdom of God. Oh yes, our walk with God is so important. It is so important that we give heed to the things that are written, the things, oh, by which we are admonished in God's word. You know, this is not something to be taken lightly. These are serious matters. And oh yes, oh my, we want to live a life that's according to his ways. You know, just turning to 1 John, the second chapter for a moment, it tells us here, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And oh my, you know, that's very telling here. You know, these words of life are given unto us so that we don't live in the condition of sin. And then thank God a provision is given. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Praise the Lord, we can go to God and confess those sins. And we know that he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, if we confess our sins, we know he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. We have that, oh, that ability. Thank God. Because yes, despite ourselves, we do slip up sometimes. But oh my, God does not want us to continue in that path of sin. And then it continues here in 1 John, a few verses, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. See, you know, there's going to be a proof that verifies the fact indeed that we are the child of God. You know, if we know him, then we're going to want to keep his commandments. And it goes on. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Oh, how clear it is. But yes, if our hearts are right, if our desire is really to serve God, then there's going to be evidence in our manner of life that we are indeed his child. It's going to come through all these ways by, you know, the words that come out of our mouths, and you know, by the way we behave ourselves. Oh, so much is going to be telling by the fact that we don't live in those old sins, you know. And oh, you know, it's a complete change in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, it's going to be so telling. And one more verse here, or two maybe, here in 1 John. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked, even as Jesus Christ walked, praise the Lord. Yes, that's the desire of our heart, to be like Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. We're walking in that realm where old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. If we surrendered, if we yielded our lives over to Jesus Christ, then, oh, there's going to be evidence. It's going to come forth. It's, you know, it's going to be telling. Praise the Lord. There's going to be light in our life instead of darkness. So yes, back here in Ephesians, as I strive to finish this, it says in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. all those characteristics of the old man, and we don't want to walk in them. You know, emotions sometimes may be hidden in the heart, and that's reason to be examined by the Holy Ghost so that, you know, if there's anything that needs to be revealed and that we need to let go of, you know, praise the Lord, we could do it. But yes, we need to let go of all bitterness, of all wrath, of all anger, of all clamor, which is complaining or loud, demanding. It says, and of evil speaking. It says, be put away from you with all malice. And oh, wow, we never want to walk in malice. Malice is a desire to harm others or to see others suffer. But it tells us as this chapter ends, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, praise the Lord. Simple basics, praise the Lord, but all an example of a changed life, a life in Christ, a life that has been turned over to the Lord Jesus, to no longer walk in those old ways, that old lifestyle, oh my, those old activities, that old dress, all of that, oh, by the grace of God, by his mercy, oh, praise the Lord, oh, yes, as we yield to him. I'm so thankful, the Lord, I put these things, you know, before us so that, oh, yes, we can be admonished, we can be advised, we can get right with God, we can examine our lives, praise the Lord, we can change, praise the Lord, and let the Lord do his work, praise the Lord, oh, yes, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord, oh, yes, to be like Jesus. What a goal, what a thing to strive for, but that's what the Christian walk is all about. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes, striving for the mastery, striving to put on Christ. Oh, yes, striving to put on the new man and letting go of the old things of the world, the things that would hinder us, the things of sin, all the things that would keep us out of the kingdom of heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, oh, yes, continue to talk to us, Lord. Oh, God, continue to strengthen us. Put faith in our hearts, oh, Lord. Oh, God, put belief in our hearts. And, oh, God, help us, oh, Lord, oh, God, to give heed what we can. And, oh, God, to examine ourselves. And, oh, God, help us, Lord, to strive for the mastery. Oh, God, to live that life in Christ, to hope, praise the Lord, to be that new creature. Oh, God, such as you have ordained for your people and for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, God.
Praise the Lord.
Lord.
In closing, we are going to open our melody to praise hymnals to number 19 and sing Deeper, Deeper, number 19.
Higher, higher.
deeper, deeper, blessed Holy Spirit, take me deeper still, until my life is wholly lost in Jesus and His perfect will. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in Thy precious holy word. Deeper, deeper, though it cost our trials, deeper let me go, rooted in the holy love of Jesus, let me fruitful grow. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in Thy precious holy word. And deeper, higher, every day in Jesus, till all conflict past finds me conqueror, and in His own image perfected at last. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Amen.